You know, Carl, more than 10 million Americans now require long-term health care annually, and Medicaid is the primary source of coverage.
That's correct.
And now, while that's a dramatic increase compared to when Medicaid was first implemented back in 1965, that figure, we're told, will continue to rise throughout the next decade. And that's according to Chris Orestes. He is the senior healthcare advocate and CEO of Life Care Funding and our guest now on Smith Sabatino. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you for having me. Good day. Glad to be here.
Oh, same here for us and you. What I just said, I mean, wow, we have a problem on our hands in this country, do we not?
We do. You know, the long-term care funding crisis is one of the biggest problems confronting America today. 10,000 baby boomers are turning the age of 65 every single day in this country. Ooh. And it's just creating a much bigger demand for long-term care services, which makes it much more difficult to pay because too many people look to Medicare and Medicaid as what they think is going to cover all their long-term care needs in the future, and people don't understand what they're getting into, what it takes to qualify, what it'll cover, what it won't cover. And unfortunately, as they're going down that path, thinking that everything is going to be covered by Medicare and Medicaid, they're making a lot of mistakes in how they plan for it, understanding what they're getting themselves into, and it's costing you, me, and everybody else, the taxpayers, taxpayer dollars to pay for all that.
Well, how long do you think, Chris, do we have before then something's got to change?
Well, you know, something needs to change right away. Medicare and Medicaid will continue to be funded as long as taxpayers are paying into the system. But what's happening is political leaders are pushing back on families to cover more of the cost of care themselves and what's known as private pay, to pay for it out of their own pockets, either through the use of insurance, savings, assets, investments. But I'll say there's good news to that, because when you're private pay, that means you get to choose the form of care you want, the location of care you want. What people don't understand is if you go on to Medicare and Medicaid, you have very limited options. You're no longer in charge of where you're going to get care and who's going to get it to you. You have to go into specific nursing homes. You can only use specific forms of care. But if you're private pay, you could decide to stay home. You could move into a beautiful assisted living community. You could go into a nursing home but have a private room. If you're on Medicaid and you move into a nursing home, you're sharing a room for the rest of your life with somebody you've never met before. If you're private pay, you're able to make choices that you're not able to make if you're on Medicare and Medicaid.
You know, I think most people, though, if they're at the end times or ending times of their life, the Decembers of their life, they would prefer to be at home, don't you think?
Absolutely. Everybody's number one choice is to be at home. And not only is it for the people receiving care, but for family members and for care providers and even for governments. You know, the state and federal government, their number one choice is for people to stay home as opposed to moving into nursing homes or anything like that. And to be in a position to be able to do that, primarily you're going to be paying for that out of pocket. So what are some of the ways you can do that? Well, people that plan in advance could buy a long-term care insurance policy. People that own life insurance policies can turn those life insurance policies while they're still alive into a long-term care benefit. They have the legal right to do that. There's, if you're a veteran, there's a veteran benefit program that people can tap into that will help pay for their care. There's a number of private funding options that people need to be aware of, but the sad reality is that too few people pay attention to or plan for long-term care until they're in a crisis. And that is absolutely the wrong time to be dealing with, for yourself or a loved one, how to handle long-term care, understanding the different types of care, how to pay for it, everything you need to do. Don't wait till you're in a crisis situation to start in a panic trying to figure out how you're going to take care of your situation. The sooner you're planning, understanding the type of care, how to pay for it, what's covered, what's not, how to qualify for programs, the better off you're going to be when the time comes for care.
Richard, Carl Sabatino here. For those of us...
It's Chris.
Chris, I'm sorry. I apologize, Chris. For those of us who lived through the... And I have had to deal with this with eight family members, elderly family members.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. And they're all gone now. it was a learning curve. It got better with each individual.
Unfortunately for you, practice made perfect.
Learning the system, if you will.
Yeah.
Learning the system. For those people like myself, many of whom are listeners to our broadcast, what do you say to those children? These are the ones who eventually will be responsible for this in terms of their preparation as it steps up in time.
You know, the first thing I'd say to any family is, if you're experiencing long-term care, you are not in the minority. You are part of the majority. It is actually rare to find people out there that are not somehow touched by long-term care for themselves or a loved one. But for the kids, for the adult children, you want to be planning on two fronts. One, you want to do what you can for yourself now for the future. Make sure you're saving. Make sure you're learning about long-term care. Make sure, while you're still young and healthy, you're acquiring the right kind of insurance, whether it's life insurance or long-term care insurance. But you also need to be planning together as a family for your parents' needs. You want to have what I always call it a long-term care action plan. Who in the family is going to be responsible for helping when the situation happens? Is there a sibling that's living close enough to the parents that they can act as the driver and go and look at assisted living communities, meet with home care companies? Who in the family could potentially be the power of attorney? Who in the family is going to look at the financial situation to understand what you have or don't have to work with? So you need a family plan, a long-term care action plan in place for your parents, and in so doing, it'll also put in for you discipline and experience to be preparing for yourself.
Good advice.
You know, Chris, you have a model for converting life insurance policies into long-term care funding. Can you explain how that works?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We, going back now a number of years, we saw that there was too many seniors in this country that were lapsing and surrendering their life insurance policies without realizing that they had the legal right to actually convert those policies into what's known as a long-term care benefit plan. And in essence, what that does is it gives you a percentage of the death benefit while you're still alive today. You're going to sell the policy for a percentage of the death benefit. So let's say you had a $100,000 term life policy, you might get $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 for that policy. That money is put into an irrevocable benefit account that then holds the money and makes automatic monthly payments to whatever form of care you choose for as long as the money is in that account. So it gives people a way to take a life insurance policy and instead of throwing it away for nothing, turning it into a considerable cash benefit plan that they can use to choose and pay for any form of care they want. And people across the United States, all 50 states, have the legal right to do that with their life insurance policy.
Now, is anybody really against this kind of model?
You know, the only opposition that's ever come up about this kind of model is the insurance companies themselves, because for them, if a person has paid premiums into a life insurance policy for 10, 20, 30 years, and in the last 2, 3, 5 years of life walks away from their policy and lapses or surrenders it, then the insurance company's never going to have to pay a death benefit. So mm-hmm. they've collected mm-hmm. your money for years, and they owe you nothing in return. So a lot of the profit in the life insurance industry comes from people who abandon policies after paying for years to carry them and keep them in force. So when this approach came into the marketplace and became a mainstream way to help people pay for care, it spooked the life insurance industry because it took a bite out of their profit margins. But it's the legal right of every life insurance policy owner. The problem is too few people know about it. That's why we love opportunities to get on programs such as yours or to be out there in the news, in news articles, telling the story, letting people know this is their right, they have this option, and they shouldn't throw away a life insurance policy before they look at how they could use it to pay for their care.
Wow. Well, Chris Orestes, I thank you so much for enlightening us on this. You are a nationally known senior healthcare advocate and expert, CEO of Life Care Funding. Do you have a website?
Yes. You'll find a lot of great information about all sorts of ways to pay for long-term care, including using your life insurance policy at www.lifecarefunding.com.
All one word?
All one word.
Lifecarefunding.com. Thank you so much, Chris Orestes, for being with us. I hope you come back and visit us again one of these days.
My pleasure, and I hope I get the chance to do exactly that.
Thank you,
Chris.
Have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
Good stuff.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I'll tell you, I mean, these are things that I haven't thought about, and I'm in, you know, the latter part of my beingness.
For those of us, and he said it correctly, I learned as I went along. I got better as I went through it.
Yeah, I saw you taking notes.
I am, because let's get him back. There's more to that. We're going to bring him back in a couple of weeks. I'd like to continue that conversation, because I think, like you and I still have that situation in other areas of my life.
Sure,
And with you. Let's do it.
Well, everybody's going to face it someday or another.
The inevitable.
I mean, it is the inevitable thing, and you know, got to have fun with it.
We are back. Carl Sabatino, Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino. Stay with us.
America. Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What are the top three reasons marriages end? Actually, they will surprise you, and they're all very easy to fix. That is, if you're willing to take the time. Here's the science of it in reverse order. The number three reason marriages break up, meddling in-laws. The number two cause, one member of the relationship finds another person. And the third reason, which accounts for 70% of all divorces, is, you guessed it, money.
You spend all our food money on shoes.
What's the cheap psychological trick? When any marriage problem hits, meddling in-laws, an affairing spouse, or financial issues, get help quick. If you pretend the problem doesn't exist, the marriage is doomed from the start. Breaking up is easy to do. Staying together is hard. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. For 8 years now, the USDA has been disposing of military nuclear waste by exposing grocery store hamburger to it because it happens to eradicate E. coli bacteria and insects. Michael Colby, former director, Food and Water.
That's 30 million chest x-rays is what was approved to expose our hamburger meat to.
Enough radiation to kill the host cow in under 10 seconds. At high radiation levels, America's massive deregulated meats are nuked for bacteria, staving off costly lawsuits from the 20,000 plus E. coli poisonings a year. Michael Colby.
You're going to take that fecal contaminated piece of meat and you're going to zap it with the equivalent of 30 million chest x-rays, and then we're going to call it safe.
Look for radiation's logoed flower with a circle around it on packaging.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.